Good morning. Before I get to the sermon this morning, I want to encourage you to be here next Sunday, Easter Sunday. Of course, Easter is not about the Easter Bunny, right? Easter is about Jesus rising from the dead victoriously. On Good Friday, he gave his life up for us as a perfect sacrifice. It was a once and for all sacrifice, the scripture says. It was a perfect sacrifice because he was perfect. He was without sin. And yet he loved us enough that he would be willing to give his life for us. He took our place on the cross so that we could have a place in heaven. That's what took place on Good Friday. But praise God, Sunday was coming. On Sunday, he arose victoriously. And the grave could not hold him. And his victory can be our victory too. All we have to do is put our faith in him, and the blessing of salvation can be ours. That's what we will celebrate next Sunday. So I hope that you will be here. And I want to encourage you too to invite somebody to come with you or to meet you here. And I'm sure as you came in this morning, you saw these invitation cards on each chair. And we really want to encourage you to pick that card up and take it home with you and then give it to somebody. Pray to the Lord as to who you might give that to. Maybe someone would come to your mind even this morning as to who you need to give this card to. Or maybe you just keep the card with you as you go through the week. And the opportunity will arise. The Holy Spirit will help you know who to give this card to. Maybe it will be somebody that you're at the store and you meet in the aisle, or maybe it's that person at the checkout register and you just say, hey, let me give this to you. I want to invite you to come to Reinhardt next Sunday for our Easter services. But I am confident that if you want to honor God in this way, that by inviting someone to church, he'll show you who that person should be for you to invite. Plus, if you come early next Sunday, we'll feed you breakfast. Come at 9 o'clock and we're going to have a really good breakfast for you. The menu is breakfast burritos, homemade, by the way, not out of a box, and biscuits and gravy, and we'll eat together. That's at 9 o'clock. We'll eat together. We'll fellowship together. We'll enjoy conversation with one another. And then church time at 10:30, our regular worship hour. And we will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus together. For the month of April, our memory verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I'd like for you to read this verse with me, please. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Paul was writing that to the church at Corinth, and the NIV says it this way, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I wonder if you might have a hesitancy about saying this verse. I understand that, because we think, how can I tell somebody else to imitate me, because I know I'm not always imitating Christ. I'm not always following his example. And so for me to say, follow me as I follow Christ, it almost seems hypocritical in my mind. And I can identify with those feelings because I don't always follow Jesus either. But you know who else didn't always follow Jesus? Paul. The very one who wrote this didn't always follow Jesus.
Let me remind you that Paul was a sinner too. In fact, he said he was the chief of sinners in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And then in Romans chapter 7, he says those words that we can identify with as well, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. Paul was a sinner just like we are, and yet he was very mindful of God's grace to him. God's grace was enough to cover his sins. And his grace, God's grace, motivated him to try and be like Jesus. Now, I want those words to sink into your mind for just a moment. God's grace was enough to cover Paul's sins. And his grace motivated Paul to try and be like Jesus. That should be true for us too. Yes, God's grace is enough to cover our sins. And as we contemplate God's grace to us, we should be trying then to be like Jesus. Your life and my life may be the only Bible that some people will ever read. And we should be trying to show people what Jesus is like. God has given to us the Holy Spirit to help us in that challenge. Last week, we talked about how the Holy Spirit helps us grow in the character of Jesus. We call that spiritual fruit. Help me out for just a moment. Apple trees bear what kind of fruit? Apples. You're pretty sharp. Peach trees bear what kind of fruit? Peaches. All right. I think you're getting it. Now, that seems pretty elementary. But I remember a number of years ago, I was studying with a young college student trying to teach him about Jesus. His name was Lev, L-E-V. Lev was a student at Fort Scott Community College. He had come here from Russia, and his English skills were very limited. And he had visited the church where I was preaching. He was expressing an interest in learning about Christianity and learning about Jesus. And I began to get with Lev on a regular basis, once a week, to teach him about Jesus. And we went through several studies together. We studied who Jesus is. We studied about the Bible and the fact that it's the Word of God. We studied about what Jesus did for us. He had died on the cross for our sins, and he had risen from the dead. And we were then in a study about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is one whom God has given to us to help us be like Jesus. And in this part of the study, I was trying to help Lev understand that the Spirit will give to us, he will help us grow in our likeness of Christ. He will help us grow in our spiritual fruit. And I don't know that Lev was getting it because of his English, these barriers between our languages. And I said to Lev, the same question I just asked of you. An apple tree, Lev, bears what kind of fruit? And he was silent. He wasn't getting it. So I tried to make it easier. I said, an apple tree bears apples, right, Lev? Oh, yeah. A peach tree bears peaches. Yeah, okay, yeah. I said, Lev, what kind of fruit does a banana tree bear? And he thought about it for just a moment. He said, pineapples? He wasn't getting it because of the language barrier. But you're getting it. You know this truth. Just as banana trees bear bananas and apple trees bear apples, Christians should bear Christians. And Christians should bear spiritual fruit because of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to help us grow in our spiritual fruit. And we talked about that last week from Galatians chapter 5. We are to be growing in the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. There are 9 character qualities in Galatians chapter 5 that are the character qualities of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us grow in those character qualities. The more surrendered we are to the Spirit, the more of Jesus is going to come out of us. Think about that. The more surrendered we are to the Spirit of God, the more of Jesus is going to come out of us. His character qualities will be seen in us. Now, I was trying to decide where to go with this last sermon on the Holy Spirit. We've been in this mini-series on the Holy Spirit for 6 weeks. And I had originally thought that I would talk about spiritual gifts today. That the Spirit of God has been given to us to help us exercise spiritual gifts that God has given to us. He has given to every believer at least one spiritual gift, and He has given us those gifts to use to His glory and to the building up of the church. But as I thought about that, I began to come to the conclusion that's really more than just one sermon. I mean, that's a whole series of sermons in and of itself. And so we're not going to talk about spiritual gifts today. What I want to challenge you with today as we finish this mini-series on the Holy Spirit is simply this. I want to challenge you to live your life by the Spirit. And we've looked at Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 several times over the last few weeks. It says this, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." And if you're reading from the New International Version, it translates that verse this way, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." The New Living Translation treats it this way, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." Oh my goodness. Is that ever a challenge for us? That we would follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Dear God, help us to follow the Spirit's leading in the way I talk. Dear God, help me to follow the Spirit's lead in how I respond to people with love and patience and kindness. Dear God, help me to respond to the Spirit's lead as He prompts me to do things in the name of Jesus. As He prompts me to do these things, Lord, help me to do them. How many times does the Spirit prompt us to do something and we just kind of let it go? We think about it. We know clearly what He's wanting us to do, what He's moving us to do, and we don't do it. And so our prayer should be, Lord God, help me as the Spirit makes it clear to me how to live, that I would actually be obedient to Him in that way. Maybe He will prompt you to really take this seriously And there are other cards in the chairs around you. And there's other cards out at the Welcome Center that you can actually pick up several cards today and hand out several invitations this week to people for our Easter service next Sunday. If the Spirit prompts you to do that, please do that. Maybe He will prompt you to call somebody on the phone and offer to pray with them. I saw a text on my phone this last week about Scott's dad, who has had some health issues just recently. And as I saw that text, immediately the Holy Spirit said, why don't you give Scott a call and pray with him? And I did. I called him. He answered. I said, hey, thinking about you. I saw this text about your dad. I just wanted to express concern. And I offered to pray with Scott. And I could tell. I could tell. It was meaningful to Scott for that phone call to be made. And it was really something very simple. Something that didn't take a lot of time or effort, but it was meaningful to him. And I'm thinking, when we obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit, usually not only will we be blessed, but somebody else is going to be blessed too. And that's why I'm encouraging you to be open to the Spirit's leading. Have a listening ear, an open mind, an open heart to do what the Spirit prompts you to do. Because there's a blessing there for you and for somebody else. I was in somebody's home this last week. And as we were talking, they mentioned to me that they had received a phone call from someone in our church just saying to them, hey, I saw you in church recently, and I was just so happy to see you there. And these folks were just so encouraged by that phone call that had been made to them. And I know without a doubt that that lady who made that phone call to this couple was prompted by the Holy Spirit to make that phone call. She texted me and said, hey, can you give me these folks' number? I want to make them a phone call to them. I want to encourage you to live your life open to the Holy Spirit. And be willing to follow His lead in every aspect of your life. I was listening to a sermon a while back by Rick Ashley, and he told a story about a fellow named Oz Guinness. Oz Guinness is a Christian apologist from England. That simply means he is a Christian defender of the faith. He likes to travel and speak at universities, oftentimes to very skeptical student audiences about faith in Jesus. Now, you can imagine, if you're Oz Guinness, how challenging that can be to talk to university students about faith in Jesus. And this Oz Guinness, he is a brilliant man. He was scheduled to go and give a series of lectures at Essex University in England. And he had been told that some students were planning to come and protest his lecture there. Now, you've seen on the news how difficult students can make it for those who are trying to speak to them about a topic that they don't agree with. And this was a concern for Oz Guinness. And the Lord had been prompting him to pray about this ahead of time. Lord, would you just help me as I'm going there to this university and going to speak to these students about faith in Jesus? Would you help me to get through that? And as he arrives, it's not hard for him to miss seeing there is a woman sitting on the front row, a young lady, a young student sitting on the front row. and she has rage all over her face. It's as though it's written on her forehead, "I'm mad." And the Holy Spirit again prompted Oz Guinness to pray to God for an uninterrupted opportunity to share with his audience why he believed in Jesus. And he went on with his lecture. It was enthusiastically received by those who were there. And when it was over, that woman, that young student, that young female student off the front row came to him in a beeline, and she said to him, "How did you do that?" "How did I do what?" "How did you keep me quiet?" "The witch's coven sent me here to interrupt and protest your talk, and when I tried to open my mouth, I could not do it." "What kind of spell did you put on me?" she said. And he said, "The only spell I cast was I prayed in the name of Jesus." A few weeks later, after that lecture series, Oz Guinness was in the States giving another talk, and a woman came up to him and asked him how it went at Essex University. He said, "Quite well. Why do you ask?" She said she knew that he was to speak there, and she knew the date, and she knew the time of the first night of lecture. And she said, "About the time that you were to start speaking, I got a strong prompting from the Holy Spirit to pray for you, because I just sensed that there was a battle going on, and I needed to pray for you." Rick Ashley said this: "One way we stand with each other is we kneel for each other." I mean, that's so good, I took time to write it in the cover of my Bible. One way that we stand for each other is that we kneel for each other. If you listen close, oftentimes the Holy Spirit will prompt you to pray for a brother or sister who is in need. The question is, will we keep in step with the Spirit? You know, when I think of keeping in step with someone, I'm thinking of walking arm in arm with that person, and we're stepping together along the journey of life. And Paul is challenging us to keep in step with the Spirit, to be of one mind with Him, and to follow His lead. We're following His lead. We're not leading Him. He's leading us. How about in our business transactions? Do we keep in step with the Spirit? Last weekend, all of Cindy's siblings and their mates had agreed to meet together and have a fence building party at her mom's farm. Not exactly the kind of party I recommend. But it's what we had agreed to, and it's what needed done. And my brother-in-law Dave had gone to pick up the rolls of barbed wire at Orstlin's, and he needed two rolls. Each roll was costing $85 plus tax. And when he got home with those two rolls, he looked at the ticket and discovered they had only charged him for one roll of wire. Yeah, we just saved $85. Now that's the response of the flesh. It's not the response of the Spirit, because if we're keeping in step with the Spirit and He's actually leading us, He is going to be leading us towards honesty, towards integrity. And you can be sure He was prompting Dave to make that right. And Dave got on the phone to Orsland's to tell them what had happened and to see what he needed to do. He said they didn't hardly know what to do with that kind of a phone call. He will prompt us in our business transactions to be honest and to be people of integrity. The question is, will we listen to Him? Will we keep in step with the Spirit? What about our personal purity? Will we follow the Spirit's leading in that part of our lives? It's so easy for us to just go down a different road than what the Spirit is leading us. But be sure of this, the Spirit is leading us in such a way in that we will experience life. The unholy Spirit wants to lead us towards death, destruction. I've recently done a study on how to listen to the Spirit's voice. And this is what I've discovered, and I really encourage you to hear what I'm saying today. This is right where we live every day of our lives. How do I hear the Spirit's voice? We should listen expectantly. In other words, we should expect to hear from God. We should anticipate Him speaking to us. He speaks to His children. And we should say to Him, in the words of Samuel, the young boy, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant is," what? Listening. We should expect the Spirit to be speaking to us, to be leading us. If we listen, we will hear from the Holy Spirit. Next, we should listen quietly. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Another way to say this is, be quiet and know that I am God. I mentioned to you last week that if everything around us is so loud and so busy and so chaotic and in such a rush, it's hard to hear the voice of God. And so we need to listen quietly. We need to slow down and take the time to hear Him. And then we need to listen openly. We should open our minds and our hearts to what He wants to say to us. How many times do we have these preconceived ideas of what His will is rather than to listen to what His Spirit is saying to us? Let me read to you from this book entitled Listening to God. He says, "To listen openly means to be willing to hear God correct us as well as comfort us, to hear Him convict us as well as assure us, and to hear Him chastise us as well as praise us. We will not always hear what God has to say if we come to the Lord willing to hear only words of prosperity, blessing, and comfort. Unfortunately, the more unwilling we are to hear words of correction, the greater our need for correction grows. So come before the Lord humbly and depend on the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind the areas of your life that need to be changed. Accept both the positive and the negative the Lord says to you about yourself. Recognize His words of correction are for your good and are just as loving as His words of comfort." Wow. Listen to him with an open mind and hear what he has to say to you. Next, we should listen to his Spirit submissively. In other words, we should be willing to do what the Spirit directs us to do. What good is it if we hear what he says, if we sense what he is prompting us to do, but we're unwilling to do it? Luke chapter 11, verse 28 says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice." As I was preparing for this message, I thought in my mind, Hebrews chapter 11. I need to go to Hebrews chapter 11 and just read through it. Because Hebrews 11, if you recall, is the hall of faith. It's the chapter in the Bible where God's heroes are listed there because of their faith in him. And as I read through that, I was suspecting this, and it was affirmed to me. Every one of those people listed in Hebrews chapter 11 had the kind of faith that was obedient to God. Such as Abraham. He's the father of our faith. I mean, there's a whole bunch of verses in Hebrews chapter 11 that are given to Abraham's story. And so much of what is said about Abram's faith is that he was obedient to God. God said, "Abram, I want you to leave your homeland and I want you to go to a country that I'm not going to tell you where I'm taking you. You just follow me. You just be willing to let go of everything here that is comfortable to you and familiar to you, and I want you to go where I lead you." What did Abram do? He obeyed. He obeyed God. And when Abram was told by God to offer up his sacrifice, his son Isaac as a sacrifice, what did Abram do? He obeyed God. And then Moses. There's quite a few verses in Hebrews 11 that are attributed to Moses too. And when God called Moses to give up his love for Egypt and all of its riches, and even to give up his place in the royal family, what did he do? He gave it up. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You can go right on through Hebrews chapter 11, that chapter of faith. Every one of them listed there had a submissive spirit to the voice of God. And so, as we live our life in step with the Spirit, and he prompts us to do this, to do that, to reach out to this person, to give to that person, to meet this need, to love and to forgive, whatever he's prompting us to do, may we have a submissive spirit to him. I'll give you one final point that is so important as we consider how to listen to God's Spirit. We do so with the Bible in hand. And the reason I say this is God will never tell you to do something that is contrary to his book. And what's in the black and white is eternal. His word will never change. Therefore, we can be assured that the Holy Spirit will never lead us in a direction that is opposite of what the book says. Now, I will tell you this, Satan will lead you in a direction opposite of what the book says. And that's why we need to be a good student of God's Word. We need to know what it says. Then we can decipher what is the truth and what is a lie. Because we need to be able to discern whether it's God speaking to us through the Holy Spirit or whether it's Satan speaking to us, because sometimes Satan likes to whisper in our ear too. And if we're not a good student of God's word, we might be led astray by Satan's voice. Understand this, the Spirit will never tell you it's okay to hold a grudge because you've been done wrong and you deserve the right. Now, the unholy Spirit will speak that to you. But the Holy Spirit will never speak that kind of message to you. The Spirit will never tell you it's okay to sleep with someone who's not your married partner. And I don't care what the world says today, and Satan will whisper in your ear that it's okay for you to do that. But we need to recognize truth from lie. No, the Holy Spirit will never lead you in a direction astray from God's word. The Holy Spirit will never tell you it's okay to change your gender. The Holy Spirit will never tell you it's okay to be in a homosexual relationship. I can tell you with certainty that being true because of what the book says. And the Spirit will never lead you astray from the book. The Spirit will never tell you that baptism isn't important. The unholy Spirit will tell you that. But the Holy Spirit will always agree with what the Bible says. And so as we come to a concluding point here, are we going to listen to the Spirit? Are we going to be in step with the Spirit, letting Him lead us? Let's pray together.